Let's get this show on the road. Jason and Aaron in the studio now, now that all the Monday Night Football games are done. Ravens destroyed the Bucs 41-31, but it wasn't even that close as the Bucs scored 21 in the final frame. And then what was considered, I guess, an NFL game, it should have been a Thursday night game, Chargers kind of blew an opportunity to be a 4-2. And they let the Cards slip through. 17-15, Kyler Murray takes off for a large 44-yard touchdown run. That game was ugly. I didn't watch too much of it because I didn't watch any of it, actually, because it was on ESPN Plus. But Aaron, you did, so give us a 4-1-1.
Well, like you said, Ron, pretty ugly. I mean, it's hardball football, right? I mean, five field goals from Dicker the kicker.
Dicker the kicker. What a fucking name.
Franchise record 59-yard field goal, 5 for 5. I mean, he's lived up to the hype for sure. I think he's career-wise only missed 3 or 4 kicks in his 3 years in the league. And James Conner, great game, ex-Steeler, man. He was running hard. I mean, I'd like to see the stats on how many Charger tackles they had missed, but just off him alone, I'm going to say 15 to 20. I mean, every run, it seemed like 3 or 4 guys were bouncing off him. They get a dump down pass there. He breaks 3 tackles, gets them inside the red zone, and they hit the game-winning field goal. Like you mentioned, Rome, tough loss for the Chargers. Chance to go to 4-2.
What's
the Saints coming up? They got a favorable schedule, 4 of their next 5 at home. Cardinals needed that win, scrappy win. Kyler Murray, big run there in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, Chargers let one get away for sure.
Yeah, Chargers couldn't dicker down on the Cardinals. That's all I got to say.
Digged her down, but couldn't hold her down, you know.
Okay, so let's go to the real game. It seems like every one of these double Monday Night Football games, one's good, one bad. Ravens was actually a fun game. It's just Baker Mayfield, I sent you guys a text, looked like a baker with all these damn turnovers. That must be his favorite pastry. Just looking like my dog, you know, when he goes in the trash, and then I yell at him, like, hey, what the hell is going on, bro? And then he just blinks his little dumb little eyes, little terrier, Maltese mix, fucking lost. That's the way Baker looks in this press conference right now. Dumb interception in the end zone in the right-hand corner. I believe that was like the end of the first quarter or something like that. And then another stupid one. They were driving down the field. They were moving the ball really nicely. That second interception, though, seemed like it kind of killed their momentum. He just looked like a deer in the headlights. I know on the Manning cast, they were just saying, like, this guy doesn't give a shit if he has a turnover. He's just going to not think twice, and he's like that Brett Favre gunslinger thing. But really underwhelming in the first half as far as, you know, point production. They had a chance to go up, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns and then missed opportunities there, and Baltimore capitalized. Derrick Henry, another dominant game. Lamar Jackson killed it, 5 touchdowns, 50-yard run as well. Ravens looking the part of a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, well, we're just going to blow past Rome auditioning his new segment of Dad Joke of the Week for Baker. But yeah, the Ravens, you know, started 0-2, bad loss to the Raiders, really, the kind of the opening night loss. It was what it was. It was a competitive game, you know, AFC championship rematch with the Chiefs, and knowing someone's got to win that game, and they were, you know, a foot away from tying the game. And then the Raiders loss, I think, took us by surprise because that was the type of Ravens bounce back. And they're like, okay, what's this team going to do? They've responded 5 straight. They've looked dominant. You know, they are probably their top 3 team in the league right now. You know, probably number 2, maybe number 1 if you're asking Rome, because Rome doesn't consider the Chiefs in there, even though they're undefeated. I guess we'll get more into that later when Aaron and I do a solo Chiefs segment. But, you know, the Ravens looked every bit of the part. Derrick Henry's been probably an absolute steal in free agency, 30 years old. Generally, when the running back goes downhill in the league and we just give up, but this guy looks like, you know, one of the top 3 running backs at the league at the same time too. You know, ESPN on the telecast was doing stuff and his big run, I don't know, was it 80 plus yards or something like that, and how fast he was literally running is like one of the fastest, you know, open field runs that he's had probably of his career at that point, and he's doing it at this age, which, you know, for most people, 30 is young, but for a running back that's basically ancient, past prime, no one believes in him. But he's turning out to be just every bit of the game changer he was with Tennessee. And now you add, you know, a quarterback in Lamar Jackson, which he didn't have in Tennessee, where the offense was all on him. Now there's tons of weapons around this guy to make him even more effective. And, you know, they're going to be a real problem, obviously health pending, as we've seen with the Buccaneers later in this game and how much health could potentially ruin the rest of their season. But health pending for the Ravens, they look every bit of the part. But this is what you get from the Ravens. John Harbaugh always has this team ready. They're always a perennial playoff contender and ready to team, you know, to take the next step. It's just been a constant, when is Lamar going to get the team out of there? Last year was maybe that step they took to the AFC Championship game. This could be the year potentially they take that next step to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Jason, I mean, ESPN clocked Derrick Henry at 21.7 miles per hour on that 81-yard run. And the ironic thing is they were talking about, hey, where has he been? I think going into the fourth quarter, he was under 40 yards and then literally finishes the night with 169 on only 15 touches, so averaging 11.3 yards per carry. Yeah, I think Baltimore is a scary team for the league because they started the year off, like Jason said, 0-2, tough loss at Thursday night opener against KC, and then they lose the game to the Vegas Raiders, a game that they were up double digits, classic Ravens. We've seen them blow or almost, you know, lose a ton of double-digit leads. But now the offense is getting Derrick Henry involved now. You know, that was the first game, second game. Now we're seven games in. Mark Andrews, who was basically a no-show the first month, three TDs over the last two games. He's emerged as Jackson's top target like he has been throughout Jackson's tenure there in Baltimore. They got speed with Bateman and Flowers on the outside.
Stats.
The O-line seems to be coming together. The defense, which was the top defense in the league last year, still ranks middle of the pack right now. I'd like to see what that looks versus like when garbage time where they're just giving up yardage and points, what they look through the first three quarters. It looked pretty dominant. Mayfield had a good game going early, but like Rome said, you know, two back-to-back possessions ending in turnovers, interceptions. Baltimore from there on just took control of the game, never let their gas off the pedal, and, you know, gets to 5-2.
Yeah, Roquan Smith on the Ravens kind of dominating in the middle, just like the way other Ravens of past have done so as well. Yeah, Ravens now 5-2, tied with the Steelers atop the division. As we mentioned before the season started, we mentioned this podcast, I wanted to go replay our first two-part episode. We did mention week 7, week 8 is when we start finding out who's who in the NFL. And I think this week we finally saw the separation of who's the cream of the crop and who's on dumpster fire. So maybe later on we kind of talk about who are the real Super Bowl contenders. And also,
well, we got to get Rome's top five. We got to get Rome's top five later on.
We will
sure.
get my new
I'm
top
curious.
Five.
I'm curious what it is because I have no clue.
This
is
really
any
tough.
Inside bit on it.
I think after week 8, I'm just going to do a top 8 because this one was tough, man. I got to do a top 8. This just,
well,
this
let me know when
difficult.
You go to 6, 7, 8 so I can unplug my headphones. I have no interest in hearing it.
You're going to be like my friend's dad, you know, once a female announcer comes on, just unplug, put
exactly.
on mute.
Exactly. I'll go to the fridge. I'll go to the fridge and have her make me a sandwich real quick.
Well, you got you walking off when Rome goes to his top 8 and then Rome walking off when we talk about the number 1 team, which is the Chiefs. So
I don't think
one.
Rome may not even have him in the top 5. I
didn't want to. I didn't want to. I really didn't want to, but I feel like I have to. Hey, I did it because I have to. Otherwise, they're not in my top 5 at all. Yeah. But nonetheless, fun game. Let's recap the rest of the NFL because it was a hell of a week. But real quick, though, before we move on, I guess this was a real big week of injuries. This was huge, man. Lots of guys went down. Hutchinson went down last year.
Last week.
Detroit didn't miss a beat. Obviously, they need somebody else. We'll get to that a little bit. But just in this game, we saw Evans go down, might be out a week or two, maybe a little bit longer. Godwin, his leg just fractured. It looks like he's done for the year. And from what I saw, I guess they're like some of the leading guys in the NFL for receiving touchdowns and catches as well. So big loss for the Bucs. I had them winning this division, but if they don't have those two guys, they're in deep shit, and the Falcons have an opportunity to kind of take it away. Other big injuries, we also saw Deshaun Watson. Much of the chagrin of the fans, lots of boos and cheers. He ruptured his Achilles, kind of fitting for him to do that as well. Browns might be happy because I think that's what they've been playing him anyways, right? So unfortunately, it was on a week that they did not suit up Jameis Winston.
You know, I mean, Rome, you talk about the torn
Achilles. Jameis still played. James still played. Yeah, I mean, he was the emergency quarterback, but still right. came out to play.
Yeah, your boy DTR from UCLA got in there. But yeah, I mean.
But then he got hurt.
Deshaun Watson, man, you know, having to cut back on the masseuse, the massages, the calf got tightened, and then the Achilles popped. You know, that's sometimes how it goes.
Well, he'll be getting a lot more massages now because that Achilles is going to need it. But his career might be done. He might be done as a Brown. What other big injuries happened this week? Oh, the Niners.
Ayuk.
Tore his ACL, correct?
And MCL.
He's done for the year after he missed all of preseason to kind of get that receiver one money when I don't think he deserved it. And he's been playing like shit. And then he's done. Any other ones?
Debo, not flu.
Pneumonia.
Pneumonia. So not football related, but no timeline for his return either. So
in the hospital.
In the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I still week to week on this, but Jaden Daniels going down as well too.
Ooh.
You know, with the, I think it was ribs. I don't know if I heard this extent of it yet, but he was still a week to week. So whether he's going to be in the lineup against the Bears this week and what was going to be kind of the, you know, game of the week on Fox or CBS in the afternoon slot of Bears versus Commanders for number one versus number two overall pick facing off each other. That was a big injury this week too.
Yeah. And I just saw, Williamson for the Lions just got suspended 2 games, so he's going to be out 2 games.
Performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah.
Wild. Yes, lots of big injuries. Just trying to see that toll, so we'll see how that affects the races moving on.
Going back to the Browns real quick, I know there's a lot of people, and you guys mentioned it, being happy about Deshaun Watson, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago on the pod, but even with him being down, they can do nothing. With his contract, it's a $70+ million cap hit the next, you know, 2 years on there. So even if he's not in the lineup or you're, you know, Rome saying his career is over, I don't think his Browns career is over, because even if he comes back as a shell, they have to keep him because they're not going to be able to afford really anything else besides, you know, maybe what they got in Jameis or some cheap alternatives. But, you know, if the NFL salary cap doesn't go up, this is a team that's not going to be able to afford much with a quarterback that might not even play.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun's going to be on the roster next year. He may start the season on the PUP, physically on a form list, miss the first 6 games, something of the season next year. But with that guaranteed money, he's going to go through the rehab. He's going to be out there, and the Browns are going to be stuck for him for at least this year and next year on the roster before, you know, deciding what they want to do as far as cap hit goes.
If they're on the PUP list, so that does not count against the cap, right? From what I remember? From past injuries?
I'm pretty sure everything counts because his is guaranteed money. It's not like some of the other guys because...
Yeah, it's not in-game or active status money.
It wasn't like all free, but it's just everyone. Okay, got it. Maybe we'll do some more research. Besides that, man, big time games. The game of the week was not Niners and Chiefs. I'm not sure if I want to talk about that game, but we saw some potential conference championship preview maybe with Lions and Vikings. I thought that was the best game of the week besides Texans being in Green Bay and Packers getting away with one there.
I told you, McManus, Packers, great job signing a new kicker. They absolutely needed it.
Yeah, he came through. Let's start with the Lions and Vikings, though. I thought that was game of the week. That was big time. It was a back and forth, big heavyweight matchup. Darnold looked every part of that of what he's done so far this season. They look like they can hang. They are for real. That was as good of a loss as you could have one. And Lions just stepped up. They had the last possession of the game. And Goff, man, money. He only had a couple touchdowns, but he only had like 3 or 4 incompletions. And it was just a fun game overall.
Yeah, real fun game. Darnold looked good through the interception, though, that you know, was a kind of a game changer there at the moment. You know, Vikings came out hot. It didn't look good there for the Lions early on, but then they stormed back in the second quarter. I think it was 21 unanswered, you know, going into the half where it's like, okay, are they ready to put it on the Vikings? And, you know, I kind of called it that this kind of could be the start of where we start to see where the real Vikings team was, and not this team that's been a surprising 5-0 start, but They battled back there, made it a game to it, had a really impressive fourth quarter to really get it down to that, you know, 2-point margin there at the end. But Vikings got a short week coming up, but Aaron and I have been saying it all year. We'll continue to say it. NFC North, the best division in football right now. You know, four teams above. I think the Bears are in last place right now at 4-2. So there's going to be continue to be it, but you're going to have a ton of division matchups coming up within that division. So I think there's going to be a ton more on this to the table. I think, you know, once you get the, you know, Packers, Vikings, Packers, Lions, and the Bears playing all three teams, that's going to be like, I don't know, six of the last eight games for the Bears are against interdivision opponents. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting as you go down the stretch on how important these games are, because potentially there could be three out of four of them making the playoffs, but depending on how these things shake out, they could knock each other out.
Possibly. I have a surprise for you guys at my Power Five. So,
okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, the NFC North, I think, has to be thrilled at what we saw on Monday night with Tampa basically losing Godwin and Evans.
Yeah.
If those teams can stay healthy and continue to do what they do, four teams, which has never been done in the football NFL division, can get in. I mean, yeah, Detroit, things were looking bad for them early, 10-0. I mean, the fake punt on 4th and 7 on the fourth drive at your own, like, 25. I didn't get that. Minnesota was feeding off it. Crowd was fired up. Quick 10-0 lead. They responded back, 21 unanswered. Darnold with that pick there, too, kind of sparked the Detroit, like Jason said. And then you get, you know, the fumble by Montgomery gets returned. Minnesota goes up one. Goff leads a drive. They get the field goal of 15 seconds. Good battle in the NFC North for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Vikings are going to go away. That's going to be really fun battle throughout that division to see. Let's go to the other one. Packers inching away with the Texans. That was a great game as well. Packers defense, man, they swarmed the shit out of Love all game long. Wasn't a great game from Love at all by any means.
You mean CJ Stroud?
No, I'm talking about Love.
So the Texans defense on...
Texans defense on Love. Love didn't have a great game, but they did enough to win, and luckily, it was like a shootout in the first half, and I think the second half only saw like a touchdown, a couple field goals in the fourth quarter. Trying to pull it up again.
Yeah, you really had the Packers touchdown in the third quarter that put them ahead, and then two field goals there at the end of the fourth quarter. So it started locking down in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, this was my preseason Super Bowl matchup, pick. Texans, yeah. Packers. I think it lived up to the chapter one, lived up to the hype.
It did.
Coming down to Brandon McManus field goal late to seal the deal. Love takes chances, man. I mean, he learned from Rodgers, so he'll throw some balls up 50-50. He's one of these guys that kind of gambles. Texans got one or two picks, missed a few others. Josh Jacobs, no one's really talking about him, but he's been a big lift in the run game. Some power football, something we haven't seen out of Green Bay in a while. And that defense, you know, they did a good job keeping the Texans down to 22 points, gave themselves a chance, and Love with that drive late. Big win for the Packers. Big win because, you know, the Lions, Vikings, Bears, no one's going away. I mean, 12, 13 wins maybe just to win this division.
Yeah, I think if anything, Green Bay definitely needed this more. And great call, Aaron, on this. You did take this straight up with the Packers winning. You did not take the line at 2.5. So smart move, man. You got that victory on this pick. I was just reviewing it earlier today. I'm like,
I did make some adjustments from the pod.
Yeah, you did.
So on some picks for sure. But we did go 5-2 over the weekend in the NFL. So
I went 4-1 on mine, but Rome doesn't remember which games I picked. So only on my Word document do I get the credit for my picks. So,
yeah, I think Jason only lost the Jets, right? We both had the Jets.
You guys had the Jets. Yeah. You guys both had the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I switched some games over after reviewing some more film. After 36 hours, I did change my pick to the Lions. I did take the Lions in that one. I changed from the Dolphins to the Colts. I texted you. This is all post. Should be all posted on Twitter, Rome. If you
it is posted on Twitter,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and then I had the Ravens tonight.
Aaron's
I did have the Jets too.
Well, that's a different
Aaron's
record.
Out,
that's
Aaron's out here moving the lines on the Thursday pod, and then coming
back.
Yeah,
we're not doing that. We're going by the lines that are on Thursday, but that's a separate record. That's a separate record.
The lines are still pretty much the same, and just changing the picks.
Yeah. No, I got the tally. Total, you had 7 wins, Aaron. You had 7 wins, Jason. I had 7 wins as well. I stayed away from a lot of games, though, so I didn't have as many losses, but it was a pretty good week in picks, though. And then,
we went 10-6 between college and the NFL for 62.5%.
Yeah.
Four straight winning weeks, NFL and college. So, I mean, you're not going to find many shows or many cappers out there hitting that for sure. And Jason basically on a 13-0-1 hit streak over the last 5 weeks. I mean,
we'll just feature Chase's picks too.
If you're not pinning your mortgage on his picks, I don't know what you're doing. But, you know, since we mentioned it, it might be time to fade him. But I like the direction he's going for sure.
We'll start posting Jason's picks as well.
I'm 13-1-1, Aaron, I think. Okay. No, 12-1-2, something like that.
Okay.
This is my first week. So I had 4-0-1 2 weeks. And then, yeah. But, still, I mean, I'm not betting these. So these impartial, just lines. I'm just giving money out for free.
Entertainment purposes only, people.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm just looking at what looks good to me.
If you buy your girl a new necklace, you can thank Jason. If you're late on your rent, you might be able to thank him next week too. I don't know.
Okay. Besides those two games, I think, man, what was the biggest win of the week, actually?
Probably Seattle at Atlanta. That was a big win for Seattle.
That was huge.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think if you're Doug Peterson, I think your win in London was pretty big because he probably got to keep his job for at least another 4 or 5 more weeks until the bye week. But I think Rome Steelers, man, I think that was a pretty big win on Sunday Night Football too, because I'll be honest, in the first half, I was texting a few friends. It's like, they got to put Fields back in. I don't know, you know, Russell threw like a screen pass into the ground, and like, it just didn't look like he was going to be able to get the ball downfield. And if you're not going to get the ball downfield, at least you got Fields' legs, you know, to complement some of the running game. And then, you know, I think Russell just took a deep shot down the sideline. That was like a 50-50 ball that, you know, the receiver was able to come. Pickens able to come down with it. And I was like, it was an underthrown ball, but he was able to get it. And then at that point, I think we really just started seeing things open up for him against the Jets defense, which, albeit I think the broadcast was talking about it, that the Jets defense was a little shorthanded in the secondary. But, you know, regardless, Aaron and I have been saying this for, I don't know, has it been like 20 years now, Aaron? I swear, since Tomlin took over that team, and he just knows the right buttons to press. He knows the guys he wants in the field, and he was really using that time with Fields to really assess, comparing it to what he saw in the OTAs with Wilson, like who's going to be really the guy moving forward when they get to these big divisional games, because the Ravens pretty much just got the 6 divisional games ahead of them, and it's going to be some bruising games against the Ravens and a Bengals team that's going to want to come back. So they found their guy here going into the biggest games of the year for the Steelers, and it was pretty impressive. And then, I mean, the Jets, I mean, Devontae went from, what, a 2-5 team to a 2-5 team at this point like that. So I the best player on the field for the Jets to me was Breece Hall the whole time. So
yeah, if they could just keep on trading Devontae Adams to whoever the Steelers play next, that'd be great, because now we're 2-0 back-to-back weeks against Adams.
The Giants. I mean, the Giants want Adams for sure. I mean, yeah, I agree with Jason. I mean, Wilson was looking terrible. It looked like he was playing baseball through the ground balls he was throwing in the dirt there on the screen passes. Fields, they kept showing Fields. You know, NBC was like, I don't know. And then Tomlin kind of just, they kept showing Tomlin. He kind of was like looking up at the big screen. You know, Tomlin's got a good poker face. I wouldn't want to play poker with that guy, because you just don't never know what he's got, man. You might think he's got like a 2 and a 5 and he's got pocket aces.
Even when he's pissed. So, yeah, Russell didn't look too hot. I remember I was watching it with some cousins, and I was like, this is what we sat Fields for. I didn't think Russell did anything too crazy. One thing he does, they're willing to let him throw the ball down the sidelines and do those 50-50 balls. And when it comes to one-on-one matchups, Pickens is one of the better receivers in the NFL to do that. And for him to finally have that opportunity, he looked pretty happy. He had 5 receptions for 111 yards or something like that and a touchdown. But the offense, so overall, I guess maybe there's like some things behind the scenes as far as like comfortability or like ease. Like Russell Wilson just seemed to kind of bring like this easiness to the offense, and Smith opened up the playbook kind of like the way he let Fields do against the Colts. He hasn't done that since then, but Also, Najee Harris is a little healthier. Some guys came back healthy. Again, I was surprised that they scored 37 points. I think the over-under on that was 38. And I stayed away from that game. But, man, you know what? I feel good. I feel pretty happy that Rodgers and the Jets, although they were my pick to win that division, they're 2-5, and, you know, fuck them.
Are they making the playoffs, do you think, guys, or no?
I'm not counting them out yet. I'm not going to count them out yet, but obviously they don't have...
They got to win 8 of their final 10.
Yeah.
They got to win 80% of their final...
It's not much wiggle room. They have the talent. Games. Their defense is not, like, even though they're loaded, they're just not cohesive. And they got rid of their defensive guru, man. Without Saleh, they've been more than dog shit. And that's kind of what they get. I kind of don't feel bad for them at all.
Yeah. I mean, when you say it, I'm look at the schedule guy every time you bring this up, but they don't, I don't know what it was ranks, but they don't really have a ton of tough opponents. I know the NFL, anything can happen any given Sunday, but I mean, you got New England next week. I think their toughest game neck is the weekend after that is in Houston, or at home versus Houston. But then you got a Cardinals team, which is about 500. You got a 500 Colts team, Seattle after that at home. So Seattle's got to fly across the country, you know, to play that game. Then they play at Miami, at Jacksonville, a bad Rams team, then Buffalo maybe. And
Rams
Buffalo
are tricky.
Maybe hard. Rams can be tricky. I mean, offensively, but they got a lot of winnable games here, depending what Miami looks like on the back half of the schedule.
I don't think Miami's very good, but luckily they got...
Tua's coming back this week. I mean, like Jason said, all these tough games, Houston, Indy, Seattle, all at home. So you got to win those home games. And then at the end of the year, you get at Miami, at Jacksonville, at Buffalo. Who knows what Miami, Jacksonville is going to be. Buffalo, you know, it's going to be playing, you know, Buffalo may already have the division wrapped up. So they might just be playing for seeding or locked in as a 3 or 4 or 2 seed.
Well, the thing is, it's a short week this week. They have the Patriots this upcoming Sunday. And then they play Halloween night on Thursday against the Texans. That's a tough turnaround. I know Patriots ain't nothing. Drake May, though, looks really good. I got to say, man, this is like a really great rookie class for like quarterbacks. Everyone's solid. This is pretty impressive. Besides that, coaching is terrible. But the Bills, though, Texans, even Seahawks, even if they're going to be coming into town, that's tough, man. That's a tough stretch.
It's tough, but I think there's a lot of winnable games I could do there. And even at 2-5, which is pretty bad, but they have the talent. They have the talent, but I mean, when you look at the 7th seed, they're 2 games out.
Yeah.
And so, and that's of the Broncos who, you know, they're going to play a ton of super close games. You have the Raiders are 2-5, the Colts at 4-3, you know, and so there's room for them to strike. They have little margin for error. They've blown that. But there's an opportunity for them if they can get it together, if they can find the right mix. I think Collinsworth was saying on the broadcast, besides just glowingly talking about Aaron Rodgers every 5 minutes, but you know, he was talking at the end of the game on like what Davante Adams kind of brought, and there was a different element to the offense, even though it wasn't within production. I saw, you know, Breece Hall in the passing game was opened up because they were stretching the field with Devontae and Garrett Wilson. So there was a ton of stuff underneath their hit. Conklin was, you know, there in the touchdown. So there's different things they can do offensively if they can kind of put it all together within the red zone. This is a pet peeve of mine, but I get super frustrated whenever I watch these Rodgers games. And, you know, it was successful when he was just playing the Bears all the time within the 5-yard line, but they go past first down every time in this stuff instead of using some of these running backs. They got to be more creative, and they always put themselves behind the 8-ball in some, you know, longer conversion situations, whether it's a long third down or even tight stuff in the goal line, they should, you know, pounding the ball in for the touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, right now I just looked up that Jets have a 33% probability of making the playoffs, a +210 odds.
So, you like that? I mean, you like that?
I don't think the Jets are going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're the Jets. You know, who knows what's going to happen, who can get hurt, whatnot. I mean, Breece Hall, like Jason said, he's their best player. I mean, you see what happens when he gets the ball in open space. You know, he's like, you know, a Derrick Henry, not as big, but he's just quick and explosive. He just runs away from people. Like, when you see guys running away from NFL players, you know they're a special talent and player. And that's what you get from Breece Hall. They got to find ways to get the run game going. They didn't get the run game going against the Steelers. kind of got, you know, haul out in space, swing passes, screen passes, got that going. But the Jets, they got a lot of issues. The defense, secondary, Jason mentioned, I think four of their five top guys in that secondary outside of Sauce Gardner. He even got banged up in that game.
Yeah.
Their D-line, they got worn down by Pittsburgh. That's more concerning right now for the Jets. The offense, I feel pretty good about. It's going to get better, more rhythm. But can they get healthy on the defensive end, and can they stay healthy? I mean, you got the Texans, Colts. These teams got good offenses. They can put up points. We'll see what happens.
Honestly, the Jets haven't been able to score, so their offense has to get better. They have no choice. But let's look at the AFC, though. Like, the top teams are separating. You got Bills at 5-2, Chiefs at 6-0, Ravens at 5-2, and the Steelers at 5-2, Texans at 5-2. Colts hanging in there, man. They're good 1 week, bad 1 week. I don't know what to think of them yet.
Well, they play Texans this week in Houston.
They play Texans big back, but we can count the Jaguars and Titans out. So the bottom half, that's out. Browns, they're out. I think their season is done. Bengals, we'll see.
Back in, man.
They're lingering at the 3-4. That division still has a chance to get three guys in the playoffs. We'll see. AFC West, pretty interesting. You got the Broncos and Chargers hanging in there in the middle. Raiders are out. And then we can count the Pats out, but Jets, I think they're better than the Dolphins. Dolphins are not that good. So it's really, you know, it's there.
Now, a couple points I think Aaron mentioned, I think it was you talking about the Steelers just wearing the Jets out. And I think if you look at the Steelers, the Ravens, and then even the Chiefs that, you know, Rome doesn't like, these are three teams that put elite defenses out that wear you down in the first 2 to 3 quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, you have Najee Harris taking over the game. You have Derrick Henry taking over the game. And at this point, the Chiefs are able to throw out Kareem Hunt there and just really ice the game to a certain point. They don't need spectacular plays. And that's, you know, the class of the conference, which has been for, over a decade with those three teams. You know, that's going to pay dividends down the stretch is how these teams wear other teams out, whereas someone like the Jets, they're just up and down. So you bring out the Colts. I wanted to bring a stat that I had saw on, I think it's at the 33rd team FB on X. So Anthony Richardson, I think he made a couple big throws this year, but they had a stat out of there at some point on Sunday that I saw halfway through the Colts game. Out of the 1,107 quarterbacks with 100-plus drop packs in a season since 2000, Anthony Richardson's completion percentage ranks 1,097th. At a 46.3%. So I know a lot of people are impressed with the guy's freakish athletic ability, his big arm to throw the deep passes. But, you know, when he's on the field so far, it's not putting them, the Colts that is, in a winning position. And I think that's going to be the difference down the stretch of whether that team makes the playoffs or not, because you need more efficient quarterback play to be able to compete with some of the big dogs in the AFC.
And that's why I said Thursday, why not play Joe Flacco? He's accurate. He can still make big throws, still decent mobility in the pocket. You don't need to be playing Anthony Richardson right now. I mean, he doesn't, like Jason just mentioned the stats, he does not give them the best chance to win. He's raw. He's talented. He needs the reps. But you got a team right now that's ready to win in a division that's winnable, and you can get into the playoffs. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, whether or not Richardson gets a minute for Joe Flacco. But, you know, the idea is to give your team the best chance to win. You know, we talk about the Browns. They're stuck with a big contract. You got a rookie contract, second-year guy, only played one season at Florida, only 4 or 5 games last year. He's only played 4 or 5 games this year. You know, he can throw the deep ball. He can make incredible plays. He runs hard. But, yeah, I mean, if you're 46.5% completion percentage on drop-back passes against zone or man, that's pretty bad numbers, man. That's Raider type starting quarterback numbers.
I disagree with you guys. I think if you're looking for something more consistent, play Flacco. That's a short term answer. Richardson still needs his reps. He still hasn't played a lot of games in college and the NFL. And he's great on the deep ball. He sucks anything below 20 yards. You know, 5 to 20 yards as that stat that you highlighted. We talked about this a few times on the pod as well. He got to shore that up, but he's still making strides. I still like him as a young player. I think they should play him, but if you're just looking for a short-term solution, you just want to make the playoffs, sure, go ahead and play Flacco, but I don't think that's the best solution. That's my opinion, though. Let's go to the other games. Biggest losses, maybe. Besides the 49ers, that was a pretty bad loss.
Well, we already hit on the Jets. That was a bad loss.
That's, of course, a bad loss.
I think Aaron brought up the Seahawks win. I think the Falcons losing. Not, I mean, besides the loss, the fact that they only scored 14 points in that game, and I think the offense has basically been clicking 1 week so far out of their four wins consistently, where Cousins has had all these weapons, and it's just never kind of get going. I mean, they are – it feels like it's a different team every week between the weeks with the Falcons at this point. Now, in this division, that might still win them the division at this point because the rest of the division is just conceding, and it's going to be a two-man race between them and the Bucs, and with the Bucs losing half of their skill players on offense tonight, you know,
not
10-7, 9-8 or, you know, whatever it is might win the division at this point. But I still think that's a pretty bad loss for a Seahawks team that hadn't been great recently.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Atlanta, tough loss. They win that game, and then they win this upcoming week against Tampa. That's a two-game lead. We've already beaten them twice. And I think Atlanta's already 3-0 in the division. Yeah, they've beaten the Saints. They've beaten everybody in the division. So they got a chance to go to 4-0 and would have had a chance to go two games up. Now you're just looking to go a game up with the tiebreakers. So, yeah, tough loss for Atlanta. Seattle was reeling, losing 3 in a row, but big win for Seattle for sure. Given that the 49ers, their issues, Seattle, they looking good for the division now.
Yeah, so 49ers are having like a season of hell. I thought there would be a little bit of attrition from having pretty healthy season the last 2 years or so, and it seems like just everything's not going right. Is it panic button? I still think they make the playoffs as a wild card. I just think this maybe they might go on a run after this. Who knows? Purdy might have been his worst game so far. Those interceptions, it looked like someone was supposed to do like an out route, so they did a curl, and that was an interception there. He threw that biff before they ran that. The second one, though, right up the middle in triple, quadruple coverage, that was really terrible. I can't remember what the third one was, but not a great game. And
I mean,
Mahomes and company, Andy Reid, Jesus, man, just everyone goes down, and he just, like, that defense is phenomenal. That now that Mahomes on that big contract, that defense, they've been hitting on every draft pick. It's money, and that was a big difference in this game.
Yeah, I know Jason likes to play schedule guy. I'm looking at the 49ers schedule right now, and it is brutal. Dallas this week, followed by a bye at Tampa, Seattle, Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, Mixon, Miami, Detroit in that stretch. That's a tough, tough stretch for a team that's banged up. I mean, Dallas, Dallas is licking their chops coming off a bye week, getting the 49ers looking like this. This is the most thrilled they've been to go to San Francisco, Santa Clara, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter post the healthiest 49er wide receiver right now is a guy who got shot in the offseason.
I still like the Niners in this upcoming thing. I think they're favorite. I think the line's pretty big, like 6 points, I think.
I think it's like 5.5, 6.
Yeah.
Early lean Dallas, man. Early lean Dallas.
Yeah.
I will say for the Niners, even with the tough schedule, they have the fate in their own hands playing division, and Arizona's been up and down week to week. Their defense has been, you know, pretty bad in a lot of weeks. Seattle has been Aaron's sleeper all week. I think that's who's going to contend, you know, with them. The Rams potential could be sellers. I don't know. I heard some stuff today. I don't know if Aaron's sources confirmed about them potentially moving Cooper Kupp before the deadline. I had heard that floated around there today.
Interesting. I'll have to reach out.
Reach out. I don't know. It just things were swirling, but I don't believe that because I think the Rams can always be competitive with McVay at the helm. But I think no one's ran away with that division for the Niners. If I think a lot is the big if for them, can they get McCaffrey back? Because I think that adds an element to the offense that assists Purdy that you don't necessarily need IU, maybe not even Debo, you know, to be able to open a lot of stuff up for the wide receivers when you have McCaffrey playing so many different roles around that offense and being dynamic.
Look, the NFC West, dude, Seahawks are in first, 4-3. They're tied second or third, however you want to look at it, 3-4, the Cardinals. They've been playing like shit so far this year. You got to imagine.
The Cardinals beat them, so the Cardinals have, you know,
at least one.
I mean, everybody's still alive in that division. I mean, the Rams, whether or not, you know, Cup is on the trade block or not, they've got that Thursday night game against Minnesota. We'll see. I mean, a win there, the Rams are back in the divisional race. A loss, and, you know, maybe they start being sellers. You know, I don't know if you want to get rid of that guy. Stafford pretty much likes him.
Have they ever been sellers? Even when they were bad, they weren't really, you know?
Yeah,
no, they haven't.
They had a chance to make playoffs and win Super Bowls. They're nowhere near that right now.
Yeah.
Commanders, the big win, even without Daniels, 5-2. That middle of the division. Giants are done. I'm just going to, like, I'm permanently off of the Daniel Jones wagon. I'm not going to say they're kind of good.
I'm
off.
I feel that's a complete 180 from, like, was just,
it's
like,
okay.
3 days ago.
You can zig and zag throughout the season. Like, you know, take the games and I'm done, you know. They look kind of good. I'm off.
They got a lot of offensive linemen banged up, man. That didn't help against a Philly team that was hungry.
Well, I'm done with them, though.
They play your Steelers this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, and we're going to move up to 6-1. So, thank you.
6-2. But, yeah, he will be 6-2.
Giants is out. Rams, I just think...
An ugly game, dude, against the Raiders. I mean, I wouldn't watch that one if you paid me.
I didn't
want to
watch it. It was rough, dude. The afternoon games this past Sunday was not good. NFL, the scheduling is fucking off this year. It is fucking off. It was a bunch of good games in the morning. Another good cop, bad cop on Monday night. I don't know what the hell's going on here. Pretty terrible. But Rams, I think they're done. I think they're going to be competitive, but they're going to ruin some people's playoff chances. But I consider them out. NFC North, you can't count anybody out. Bears are in prime position, making Jason very happy. And this guy's probably walking on with a heart on 24/7 now that they're 4-2. And then NFC South, you got Panthers.
He called his doctor, and his doctor said it's Bears winning syndrome. Don't worry about it.
Man, you're talking Bears, you're talking Notre Dame right now. I mean,
Notre Dame Navy, man. I'm excited for that one, man.
Notre Dame Navy. I feel like Aaron's going to be sending the show group text me some stuff on Notre Dame Navy around here on Saturday.
Hey, it's already on the games to watch, man. It's already on there, highlighted, starred, you name it. We'll get into college football here in a bit.
It's got to be.
Cool. With that, should I reveal my new Power Five?
Yeah, let's do it, man. I'm excited to hear it.
Cool. This was tough, man. So I think after this upcoming week 8, we're going to reveal top 8 after this. So it's the last Power 5, third iteration. But nothing changed on the top. I'm still keeping the Lions number 1. They're my number 1 team. They look every bit the part. And I just can't wait to see if they're going to find another defensive guy to shore up losing Hutchinson, at least to the Super Bowl. Maybe pulls off a TO. I don't know. Number 2, moving up the power rankings, 2 spots, is the Baltimore Ravens. Watching that game from top to bottom, they are pretty fucking good. And I know I cracked on the defense a lot, but they had a big lead. Those 21 points, all that stuff didn't really matter. They are solid. Derrick Henry, just everything, all the weapons. They are no joke. Number 3.
Anyone but the Chiefs. He's just trying not to pick the Chiefs right now, even though they're 6-0.
You know, I might have to change this, actually, because I can't have the Vikings go up one when they lose.
We lost your top team, so why not?
Aaron's playing devil's advocate.
They lost to the number 1 team by, you know, last second field goal. You can't really dock them down.
I still think the Vikings are a better team than the Chiefs. So I have them on this iteration number 3, but I had them 4 last week, but that doesn't make any sense when I'm comparing both weeks for them to go up. But they were really good in this game. They had every chance to win. They are for real. I think they are definitely one of the top 5 teams in the NFL. Chiefs go up to from 5-4. Good win. I don't know. That's all I got to say. Andy Reid, he's a baller. Spagnuolo owns Shanahan. He's owned him and his dad for quite some time. It's a generational thing. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Spagnuolo is the kryptonite for Shanahans in general. So Chiefs And then to round out the top five, Texans, this was tough, man. I had to bump them out. They were number two last week. They're out of the top five, lingering around that sixth spot. But despite playing kind of like a weird game, Packers defense are for real. And even with Love having a bad game, they still pulled out a pretty big victory against the Texans. They are the new number five in the top five. So that makes three NFC North teams in the top five.
Rome's a better man than me. He doesn't put his Steelers in the top five after that impressive performance. I think they'd be in the top five over the Packers right now, personally. But
they'd be in the eight for sure. But no, I can't put them there yet. Russell Wilson doesn't make a top five team. He just happened to.
I don't know, man. Wilson, you know, he looked good, okay. Man. Give him his dues, man.
He looked good.
He was focused. He was throwing that deep ball in 50-50. Those little moon ball shots he throws.
The moon balls, yeah. That's definitely what's different from him and Fields and them being okay with him doing that. So, yeah, as long as Pickens is 1-on-1, man, I like it. Why not? I'm not going to complain. They scored 37 points. They haven't scored 37 points in, like, how many years? I don't know. Feels like two or three
back-to-back
at least.
30-point weeks, 32 against the Raiders the week before. When's the last time they did that? I mean, Roethlisberger, we're talking 2018, 2016.
Well, before Roethlisberger had his downturn, it's been a while, dude. It's been ugly. To say the least. Yeah, that's the top five, though. A lot of good teams, though. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough ranking these things. Is that it for NFL?
I think I'm good.
We're good until Thursday.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will go over some college football. Ring around the rosies, a pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, number one keeps on falling down. That's the theme for college football this year. Number one goes down again as Texas, a team that Aaron so much hates and says it's allegedly the fifth best SEC school, surprisingly, goes down against Georgia. I think that was a fun. There was a lot of good games this week. Alabama going down. That was really, I don't know, man. There was a lot of good games. Where do you guys want to start with?
Why don't we start with your Texas, man?
All right. All right. First of all, if we're going to talk about my teams, UCLA, baby, pulled out a big victory. I think I texted you guys. I was really excited. I was watching. They finally put together a complete game. They've been knocking on the door of victories. That was their second one of the year, right?
Big win at Rutgers.
Probably the best 2-5 team out there in the nation. And I'm not saying that lightly. They're all terrible, but that's a pretty good 2-5 team out there. They should have at least one or two more wins. But big win at Rutgers. Rutgers, they're dogs, man. They have a good running game, good offensive line. And UCLA, they just, whatever Deshaun Watson. wrong Deshaun, man. My bad, Foster. My apologies, dude. Foster, he's turning into a real coach. I don't know if he's a head coach yet, but he's developing one. He has like a lot of good pieces around him. I can't remember who's on his staff. He has some really seasoned veterans on there, but really impressive win. On to my other team, Nebraska, got their ass spanked by Indiana. That was an ass whooping of the ages. That was part of Aaron's game of the week, I think, last week.
Yeah, at least games to watch was on there.
Games to watch. It was not a games to watch. It was bad from the get-go. Don't even know what to talk about that game. And then Texas. I am a Texas fan. I do root for them. I think they're a contender for the championship. I do think they're one of the top two or three teams in college football. But they got manhandled. Their offensive line got beat on the ends. Georgia, they were just too fast. Ewers looked rattled really quickly. Gets benched. They bring out Manning, and he's as fast of a white boy as I ever seen. That guy couldn't even get out of pass. He was at least he was letting it go pretty quickly within 1 or 2 seconds. And then he doesn't come back. He only played like, what, a minute and a half to end the second half. Got at least like a field goal. I think the first points for Texas. And then Ewers comes back in and gets, you know, two touchdowns. But they looked overmatched against Georgia. So I don't know, man. This is like a...
Can I get a top five list of Rome's college football team ranking each week right now? I'm learning about Texas being one of his favorite teams this week. I remember Nebraska, but I hadn't heard much of them since they've been unranked since like week two.
Like Rome, and then Rome just has five teams he likes. I don't think he has a top five team as far as the country goes.
No, okay. No. It goes
like
back
Texas, to... Nebraska, UCLA, Michigan. All these teams are like Rome's teams.
That's about it.
So
yeah.
So a bunch They're of teams Rome's that team. Lost. A bunch of teams that lost this weekend because. You know, the Big Ten game of the week was my Illini, you know, defeating Michigan over in the Big Ten.
That was a disgusting game. And you know what? All I hear is Aaron's voice in the background.
I'm here waiting for an apology whenever you're ready, Rome. I told you Michigan was a fraud way back when. And, you know, every week I'm looking more right and right. They're going to get smoked by Oregon. They're going to get smoked by Ohio State. Indiana's going to smoke them if they're starting quarterbacks around.
First of all, they're not getting smoked, right? Michigan's
they're going to get smoked by these teams. Oregon's going to come up there and smoke them.
They have a top defense. Like, they still held the Illini to only 21 points, but they can't score for shit. They can't pass the ball.
Aaron, you called them at 6 wins, right?
6 wins, and that's what they're going to get.
Yeah, he's right. They got Michigan State this week, where they're going to have to win, and then Northwestern.
That's
Other
it.
Than that,
that's it.
Or Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State, all losses.
All losses. I mean, I know Indiana's starting quarterback's out at least a week with a thumb injury. I don't know how the backup looks. Indiana's the surprise team in the Big Ten. Nobody saw this coming, 7-0, and they're just rolling through people. They look good. They'll beat Michigan when they play. I mean, back when Michigan was 4-1, we mentioned – and Jason looked it up. I said, Michigan has not played a road game yet. They've still not won a road game, losing at Washington, now
at
losing
Illinois.
This one at Illinois. They get Oregon at home, but that's not going to matter. Oregon's going to wipe the floor with them. They play at Ohio State. Ohio State's sitting there licking their chops, waiting for them. Are they at Indiana, Jason? Or you got
their
schedule?
They are. They are at Indiana.
Yeah,
They're at Indiana and at Ohio State. Hey,
yeah.
Guys, I need like a little positivity here. We're going to get the win at Michigan State.
Northwestern. That's it. That's the six wins. I had them down for those wins. They're two wild card games. I said were Washington and Illinois, and they got beaten both of those. That was the only chance they had to get to 7 or 8 wins. I don't see it.
Yeah, maybe Aaron. Good call. All right.
And then Texas, man. I like Texas, man. I just don't like soft teams that get overrated.
I don't think they're soft. I just think they got matched one game. Everyone gets overmatched from one game. Alabama.
They definitely have the talent. I mean, but at the same time, I think there's a little bit of program, you know, hardening, if you will, to get some SEC licks in here to be what it's going to take to win this conference like week after week in the tough games you're going to play. You know, when you look at some of the Big 12, you know, defenses they're playing, you know, I'm just thinking of my college football watching heyday where it's like the Cliff Kingsbury and Mike Leach, Texas Tech, where, you know, no one plays defense. Everything's 7-on-7. We're throwing the ball up and down, you know, the field. You go against LSU, you go against Bama, you go against Georgia, Mississippi. These are when, you know, they have pros up and down. You know, the trenches on the both offensive and defensive lines. And, you know, you necessarily don't need that in the Big 12 and some of these teams that they're playing. So, you know, Texas still good, has a lot of talent. They're going to get a lot of talent. But, you know, to compete with Georgia and some of these other teams, I think it's another level of ball that they're eventually going to get to. And Sarkisian knows it with his time at Alabama. But there's going to be a test there.
Whose dog was that?
That was mine.
my dog's asleep, so you ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah,
like Jason said, I told you, Rome, Texas, talent-wise, they can match up with anybody on the outside, quarterback, running backs. They've got elite talent, skill players. It's that toughness in between the trenches and playing week in, week out. They struggled in the Big 12 for the last decade in the last 3-4 years under Sarkisian, barely beating teams like Houston, TCU, Oklahoma State. I mean, yeah, they beat up on Oklahoma, but Oklahoma's terrible. They just fired their OC. I mean, you know, basically they just say, you know, throw the ball right, throw the ball left, run middle. That's their playbook at Oklahoma and punt. That's their three plays. Throw right, throw left, run, punt. So, yeah, Texas got a real soft schedule in the SEC. And now they played the first real team like Georgia, and Georgia manhandled them. I mean, we haven't even brought up how the referees with the worst botch call ever because some fans decided to throw some stuff on the field, like, oh, hey, like, let's change the call so we can get out of here alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Texas plays Vanderbilt this week. And this could be a good game. I haven't looked up the odds. I think Texas is probably going to be 2-touchdown favorite. But probably. Vanderbilt's not going to be an easy game. We know they're scrappy. Jason and I have already brought up the fact that they're going to go to A&M, Kyle Field. That could be a playoff eliminator, SEC-type game championship who gets in. LSU is traveling down to A&M this weekend in the battle of unbeatens in the SEC. So, yeah, it's a long way to go before the season's over, Rome. Like you said, number one's getting knocked off every week. Alabama's in another dogfight game with Missouri this weekend. So, college football, man, there's no off weekends on Saturday.
Yeah, as well, Alabama going down against Tennessee. That was kind of a weird game. Jalen Milroe, some costly mistakes in that game. What do you guys think about that one?
Yeah, Alabama, Jalen Milroe, he's kind of one of those guys, when he's on, and when he's off, he's off.
He's off, and yeah.
Alabama, I mean, their defense had been bad. I mean, Tennessee, I thought, could have won a lot more. The quarterback there for Tennessee, the young guy, missed some big throws down the sideline, had a couple wide-open touchdowns. He got it going in the second half. Tennessee's defense is really good. Alabama's defense isn't great. Alabama hasn't been able to run the ball. They pit a lot on Milroe over the last few weeks. And it's kind of showed. I mean, it's, you know, there's a reason why Saban benched this guy last year. Everybody's, you know, everybody's talking about him going up, being a first-round pick. I've even heard some scouts say he's a better version of Lamar Jackson. Maybe coming out of college, maybe he's a better thrower, but talent-wise, where he projects in the pros, I don't see it right now. He's gotten better under Kellen DeBoer. Alabama's in a lot of trouble, no doubt. Their schedule's just brutal. I mean, three losses, and if they lose a third game, that'd be...
They'll probably get a third loss.
That'll eliminate them from a conference championship game. So we'll see what happens there. Missouri's tough game. That's a tough game this weekend for him.
Yeah.
Missouri's tough. And they go to at LSU, which if it's at LSU, it potentially could be the night game, which LSU's like, I don't know, like 90% winners at night games in Death Valley. And then I think at the end of the season, they get, who are they playing? I don't even know what school this is Alabama's playing.
Oh, they got another cupcake, huh?
They got Cold, Mercer.
They got Colgate or somebody on there?
Yeah. No, Mercer they got after LSU week. So, yeah, Mercer, Oklahoma, who's been bad, and then Auburn rivalry game. Auburn's not good, but there's been some times that Auburn's made it more competitive. So, yeah, I don't think the best start for Kalen DeBoer. I know the Alabama fans, we talked about the colors and after they losing to Vanderbilt, but there's a reason Saban was getting out of it. You know, they got into the playoff last year, but there was a lot of questions whether they even should have been in the playoff last year versus, you know, if Florida State's quarterback's healthy, I don't think Bama, you know, it's a kind of a toss up between them and Georgia, even though they won the SEC championship game. So there's been some questions around it. I don't know if the roster is where it's been since the NIL deal, because, you know, there was a time during Saban's prime, you know, we have 4 and 5 star guys galore up and down the lineup, but then once the NIL comes in, you know, there's been a lot more of a spread of talent, and it just wasn't going to be possible to be as dominant in the SEC as, you know, Saban had during his big run.
Well, I think it's a new coach too. They had what, 30, 35 transfers, so that's a big part of it. So it's always gonna be a changeover, but not the start that maybe DeBoer wanted, but I think it falls in line with what everyone else could expect, right? When you're going
No one could have saw the loss of Vanderbilt coming. Yeah. Nobody could.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, it's a once in a lifetime thing. It's like landing on the moon, I guess, right? So, another big game that kind of stuck out to me is Iowa State, 7-0, first in the Big 12, and it looks like they might win out.
Well, not only that, Iowa State with a late win, BYU Friday night against Oklahoma State with a late win. Those teams stay undefeated in the conference. Looks like the Big 12's coming down to that. Utah, they're done. Their OC just stepped down.
They're
tough
done.
Season there for Utah. Colorado. Colorado's a team that no one's really talking about too much. I mean, I bring them up every week on Games to Watch. Exciting skill players starting to get a little better as a, you know, defensive unit. Big one. I mean, they beat the crap out of Arizona. Arizona's just kind of fallen apart ever since we called that upset a month ago over Utah.
Yeah.
They let that go to their head for sure. Big 12 is wide open, but BYU, Iowa State, Rome, they look like the front runners for sure right now.
What do you guys think about the Pittsburgh Panthers, now ranked number 19? Them and Miami, the only undefeated in the ACC.
Does Pittsburgh play against Miami? I don't think so, because Miami, I think they mentioned, does not have a ranked opponent on their schedule.
No, but Pittsburgh, What they have left on their schedule is Syracuse, ranked SMU, which have been pretty
SMU's
surprising
tough.
This year.
Was that at SMU?
At SMU in two
That's
weeks.
Game. That's a tough
Virginia
game.
Virginia at, oh no, then they host ranked Clemson.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's not even on my radar to care about right now.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't think so. And even Clemson, they're 5-0 in the conference. They're still technically first right now, even with Miami 7-0 overall. Clemson's got 5 conference wins overall. You know, I called Clemson winning the conference. Aaron called Miami. I think it was coming down to them two, regardless, in the ACC championship game. But waiting for Miami to blow it. They've gotten the benefit of some calls here down, and they play like nobody down the stretch. So I don't think it really changes where we're going to see Clemson and Miami in the ACC championship game. It's potentially a play-in, depending on how many of these SEC teams potentially knock each other out as it kind of goes down. I don't know what kind of side deals this committee is going to have, because I think you're going to see the Big Ten with Fox's money and SEC with ESPN's money have a pretty big influence on how many teams those get. But at the same time, you know, ESPN also has the ACC deal in it too. But I think there's an opportunity for both to get in for Miami and Clemson, but it could be a play-in game in the ACC championship.
Yeah, I'd agree. Championship game's looking like Miami-Clemson. It's coming down to that. Unless Clemson, you know, slips up. They seem to be getting closer and closer every week. According to Rome, you know, 3 straight weeks, the referees have questionable calls. Saving Miami, Cam Ward, was it a fumble? Was it a forward pass? I had forward pass, too. I think the refs and me are both 3-0 on those picks there. But, yeah, Clemson, outside of that drumming they took against Georgia to start the year, which, again, doesn't look bad considering what Georgia just did at Texas. That was a neutral site game week one. Clemson's been the best team in the ACC right now going forward. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I agree, that's a play-in bye. They're going to get a top 4 seed if you win that Power 4 conference. Maybe if Clemson wins out in Miami, that's like a 42-43. Maybe both teams get in the playoff, but we'll have to see what happens with the Big Ten and the SEC going forward.
Miami was playing with fire again against Louisville, 52-45. They didn't really step away until like what was like the final 5 minutes or so in the fourth quarter. That's when Cam Ward came through. Pretty clutch, man. That guy's money. That guy is definitely money. So they're definitely getting their money's worth, but another close call. The refs didn't interfere in this one, in my opinion. It looked like a pretty clean win to me, but
I like, I was going to say this, Aaron, I like Clemson does the Alabama scheduling. They got the Citadel on their next to last game before they play South Carolina.
And South Carolina's going to be a tough game.
That's going to be
tough. South Carolina's no joke. They just smoked Oklahoma, gave Alabama the run for their money. They went into Kentucky one early in the year by 25. Had that letdown game against Ole Miss. But the SEC, like me and Jason said, it's like a football conference. Anything can happen week to week. If you come out of that conference 5-3, you honestly feel good, even though you'll miss the playoff.
Yeah, they are at Pitt later on, mid-November. Pitt has a tougher end of the year schedule than Clemson does.
Yeah, I mean, Pitt was fortunate to beat your Cal Bears, Rome. Cal Bears, like I told you, 4 losses by a total of 9 points, and one of those was a loss against Pittsburgh on a late field goal.
Yeah, Cal Bears 3-4, tough losses, man. They were pretty good 3-4, at least competitive 3-4.
Nine points total in 4 losses.
Really?
That's tough, man. Yeah, tough.
That is tough. Any other comments on college football?
We'll have a big preview this Thursday. It's going to be a lot of good stuff this weekend.
I take it. Cool. Let's take a quick break. And we are back from a much needed break. We got to see Jason's little doggy make an appearance. And I'm ready to talk. Actually, I'm not ready to talk about basketball, NBA, but I will talk about the WNBA before we get to baseball. Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. I was going for the Liberty.
Seems like a lot of people were going for the Liberty.
Yeah, but...
including the refs and the league office and...
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick. Yeah, the Lynx, man, Minnesota, they're really, like, I didn't think they were that good, but they're really, really good. Sabrina couldn't make a shot. Other homegirl couldn't make a shot. They shot 30%. They were, like, 2-for-30 on three-pointers. And then you come down to it, Minnesota had a nice little lead. Liberty's down by 2. You got... Man, I'm just forgetting her name all of a sudden now that we're recording.
Brianna Stewart. You're talking about?
Yeah. Brianna Stewart is driving on the left side of the paint or the court, goes up the middle on a turnaround, gets stuffed. They call a foul. There's only about 7 seconds left. It should not have been a foul. Like when it's like a tough game like that, you don't want the rest of this side, especially a winner takes all game. She comes in clutch, unlike that other game 3. Win or loss, you know, whatever.
Well, you say she comes in clutch, but right before that, she missed 2 free throws.
Yeah,
that could have tied the game earlier. And I'll be completely honest. I turned the game on literally before that moment as Stewie went up to the line for that first set of free throws, missed them both. The Liberty get the rebound. Sabrina gets a wide open look at a 3, misses it. They somehow still, I think. They got possession because it was a 50-50 ball and it was the Liberty's turn at the possession. And that's when that play you're talking about. I mean,
yeah.
I'm no judge. I saw LeBron tweet that, hey, it's not a foul and stuff. For me, the announcers were talking about whether she got hit on the arm. What I saw was the defender from the Lynx, he was moving quite a bit backwards. So if you're going to talk about like, hey, they're basically almost like a blocking foul type thing because she didn't set up for the charge because her feet were moving. That's a little bit of my expertise in basketball, but I would have said that was really the foul point is because the defender was not set up and stationary for it. But still, it just seemed in that moment that the Liberty were going to get every single chance possible to tie that game.
No, yeah, it's really odd. Yeah, she hits those free throws. They go into overtime. And then I think Collier, she fouls out. Collier, she's a beast. I think she was the best player in the finals. It kind of looked like a David Stern 1990s kind of rig job. The refs were bad. Even Ben Simmons was watching the finals. He's tweeting about it. The
Bill
fact
Simmons.
That LeBron, the fact that LeBron,
Ben Simmons, he's definitely not watching.
Did it sound like I said Ben Simmons?
You
said Ben Simmons.
Simmons.
Which could be Bill Simmons' son. I think he's also named Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. Bill Simmons watching it. And then, goddamn, you guys just threw my fucking train of thought here. The fact that LeBron James tweets about it, like the guy that gets like the most bullshit foul calls in the playoffs, shut the fuck up, dude. Shut the fuck up with your nepotism and your like son that doesn't even belong in the fucking NBA. Now you guys are gonna have Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad show up to the fucking game this week. I'm not ready for the NBA. My fucking Lakers are just making a mockery of all of us right now. LeBron's been hijacking the fucking team. Now we got JJ Redick. We can't hire a fucking coach. All right. He should have just stayed in broadcasting and basketball season starts. Over-under is 37 wins on that team. Like, are they even going to get to that? We're going to do an NBA preview, but I'm just, like, so fucking fed up about LeBron. Anyways, back to WNBA. Lynx got robbed. I like the Liberty. I like Sabrina. She's one of my favorite players in the WNBA, but that was a David Stern type of rig job. And, man, if they've wanted to become, like, a Premier League, if they want to become, like, the NBA, they're fucking doing it because they totally stole a championship away from the better team in this series, the Minnesota Lynx.
It was tough to watch, I think, from a casual viewer. I mean, I watched maybe a little bit of some of the games this year with the hype around, you know, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. But I mean, I know about the Aces and what, you know, what they brought to the table in back-to-back championships. But if you're coming into, I haven't watched any of the playoffs. I've only heard anything secondhand. I've literally, there was kind of like a YouTube TV had a great triple box last night. So it had the Dodger game. It had the Sunday Night Football game. It had the WNBA Finals. So I put the triple box on. I think that was great. Great for the WNBA Finals. You're putting that, but you get a casual like me watching that. And then you see the Liberty, who's supposed to have two of the best players in the game with Breanna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu. And Sabrina goes 1-for-19 from the floor, one for 10 from three. And they still win this game. It is just,
one for 19,
dude.
And one of the best, you know, shooters supposedly in the WNBA game. I think it just left a lot for me to desired from like a showcase. And now I was texting with a few friends and stuff, and they're kind of reminiscing of like the Kobe, like 5-for-a-century, like the NBA final stuff that we don't remember and things like that. But I think overall, I think, you know, Breanna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu just did not, it wasn't their best shooting night by all means. And it was kind of just, it wasn't the best showing for what's a decisive final game for the WNBA season. Seemed like a lot of questionable calls here and there, but, you know, could be turn one of those things, hey, we don't remember, and then this, you know, the league takes off from here. Although I think it was part of the news today that the players opted out of their collective bargaining agreement, you know, looking for a bigger slice of the pie now that, you know, this was kind of the biggest year ever from a ratings and interest and tickets, everything for the WNBA.
Well, one thing I like about playoff basketball is, you know, especially this past year, I thought what the NBA did with the rules and kind of let guys get more aggressive, because all the shit talking, right? Like the league was kind of getting soft and they're getting like a little too ticky-tacky. That was pretty awesome. They were letting the girls play in this game five, and then all of a sudden they call some bullshit calls at the end. That's what kind of like soured the whole thing. Not a good look.
She got that old Dwayne Wade treatment, huh? Get a little fingernail breathe on him, get a little foul call.
Oh, dude, yeah, it was bad. You know, it was marginal contact at best, not worth. Honestly, you probably see a lot of NBA players get that foul called. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Well, yeah, like you guys said, I mean, typically game five, WNBA finals, or any kind of playoff series, men's or women's, you want the players to decide the game. So unless it has a huge impact on the game, on the play, you kind of just let it go. It sounds like from what you guys have said that this should have probably just been a play on, you know, no foul on the arm, maybe a possible block, maybe a charge. Could have gone either way, sounds like. I mean, yeah, WNBA, Jason mentioned, you know, getting out of that CBA agreement they've got. I sent Rome a link earlier. Interesting that the WNBA's reportedly lost $40 million in revenue this season, and then they pulled this stunt to get out of the CBA. So it would be interesting to see where the WNBA goes forward.
All right. I think we'll probably do an NBA pod sometime this week. I think it kicks off tomorrow. But the real season kicks off Wednesday. Well, let's move on to bigger and better things. The World Series.
I thought you were going to talk about Formula One in Austin this weekend.
Oh, you we'll know what? Let's get the Formula One quick, and then we'll take a little quick break and then talk about the World Series. But
I mean,
yeah,
we might as well save the World Series for Thursday, because if game one isn't until Friday, just kind of like build some suspense and get this Formula One going. What do you
Why
guys
not,
think?
Actually? Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm curious to see what Jason got to say about Formula One. He's got some controversy in Austin, which seems to be the headline this weekend.
Let's hear it, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, just like the Texas-Georgia game where some controversial reversal of decisions, but had a big win, U.S. Grand Prix in Austin. Ferrari, 1-2 finish. First time they've had a 1-2 finish since the early 2000s. Charles Leclerc won the race. Carlos Sainz's teammates finished second. They started third and fourth, and really on the first lap, you know, interesting track that they have in Austin at the Circuit of the Americas. The straightaway is basically a straight uphill to a sharp kind of hairpin turn that kind of gets the whole traffic, usually a lot of congestion there early on. And the Ferraris were able to blow past where the two points leaders and Max Verstappen and Lando Norris. The controversy kind of fast forwarding to, at a certain point, the Ferraris were well ahead in first and second. and Verstappen and Norris are really going back and forth for the points lead right now. And Norris and the McLarens have really had the best car here, probably the second pass of the season. But Verstappen's got basically a 57-point lead in the Drivers' Championship overall. Max Verstappen, for those that don't know, three-time defending champion last year, won the Drivers' Championship by like a landslide margin. He won all but three races last year. This year has been much more competitive. While he still has the points lead, hasn't had the car. So he's basically had an inferior car where he's kind of just been dragging this thing to the finish line and has some pretty good results that his teammate has not. Controversy happened as Lando Norris and the McLaren caught up to him with about 7 to 10 laps to go and really got into a sharp turn. Verstappen basically looks like when he blocks him, forces Lando off the track. Lando passes him. And then at the end of the race, the stewards, which for the uninitiated are like kind of the officials of Formula One, give Lando a 5-second penalty, which basically gives the position back to Verstappen after the race ends. And Verstappen actually gains points on Lando Norris and so leads with a bigger championship lead coming out of Austin than he went into. So you've got F1 conspiracies left and right because there was a lot of things within that race of similar moves that had happened that did not warrant any sort of penalties, but could shape to be as Lando's trying to have, you know, this chase down Verstappen here in the last couple races. This may have been kind of a clinching point for the Red Bull team to make sure Verstappen wins a 4th straight world championship.
How many races we got left for this
just started?
Year?
No, we got only 5 races left to go. So this is the first of a triple header. So they're going down into Mexico here this next week, upcoming for the Mexico Grand Prix at out of Mexico City. So that's a pretty good track. It's a little bit different. Probably one of my favorites on the schedule. And then after that, the week after, they're down in Brazil. And so that'll be a pretty big thing. Then a couple week break. Then we got Las Vegas and then finish the last two in the Middle East at Qatar and Abu Dhabi. So 5 races to go. It's plenty of points up for the grabs, but it's going to be a pretty tight championship race. Red Bull hasn't had the car for the last couple of months, and Verstappen's basically been kind of defensive drive and dragging this thing in to the finish line. So Ferrari's the one kind of interesting coming on. So for those that also don't know, there's 2 championships that go on in Formula One. You have the Drivers' Championship, which is mostly what everyone cares about, and then you have the Constructors' Championship. The Constructors is basically the team championship. So there's 20 cars, there's 10 teams. So basically it's the championship of where do your 2 cars finish. So Red Bull was clearly in the lead up until a couple races ago. McLaren has passed them in first. Now Ferrari with a 1-2 finish is now only 8 points behind Red Bull to finish second in the Constructors. So Red Bull, which had been dominant here the past couple seasons, have now looked in their fortresses turn. And, you know, they're going to be the outside looking in potentially all the way down to 3rd.
Sounds interesting, man. I'm going to have to start watching some of this stuff, man.
I'm just saying, it's drama. I think the one thing about Formula One, as you get into it, number one, tons of controversy, tons of rumor and, you know, silliness when it comes to where these drivers are coming and going. The other thing to the the modern television audience of no attention span, Formula One races, a clean hour and a half. You know, you're in, you're out. There's only like 57 laps, you know, usually not that long. So a lot of stuff going on, but that's what piques my interest on a Sunday morning. This was a Sunday afternoon. So, but some good races come up here to end the season.
So who do you got as a favorite to win?
Before that race, I would have said Lando Norris was, because I think the McLaren was a superior car, but I think Lando's potentially running out of time. I think Verstappen at this point is probably going to hold him off and win the Drivers' Championship, but McLaren's still going to win the Constructors.
I'm just looking at some Reddit feeds, and a lot of people are saying like Norris has to smarten up, otherwise Verstappen's just going to keep on embarrassing him.
I think the one thing you see for Norris early in the season, he has been plagued by his inability to get a fast start off the line. So you talked about this, like passing in Formula One isn't the biggest thing. It's a very strategic thing to pass people in Formula One. It's not like NASCAR or IndyCar where a lot of stuff goes back and forth. There are strategic turns in every track that you have to make your kind of passing moves. And so if you get a bad start off the line from a start and lose positioning, it could potentially ruin your race. And Norris probably should have a couple more wins on his under his belt throughout the year, but has lost positioning to even his teammate Oscar Piastri and the other McLaren because of some bad starts. And then I think the aggressiveness back a few races ago where Lando went aggressive for the first time, actually made contact with Verstappen, damage to both cars. Verstappen was able to finish the race. Norris wasn't. So there's some learning definitely there, but Max is one of the best drivers in the world, if not the best, but he is one of the more aggressive drivers out there when it comes to blocking, but really knows how to maximize it where it's on the edge of the rules at all points. So as your take on LeBron getting calls and doing this and that, Verstappen is the one really doing this. And he did that at a younger age where me, I'm a big Lewis Hamilton fan. Lewis Hamilton's, you know, probably one of the greatest drivers of all time, if not the best.
He's the GOAT in Formula One, isn't he?
He's the GOAT. And that's where my weekend, as good as the Bears and the Notre Dame has me feeling, Lewis Hamilton was out on the like third lap of the Austin, which is pretty unfortunate. There was not some great things on the Mercedes car. This is his last year with Mercedes. But when Lewis was in kind of his heyday, winning, you know, his sixth and seventh championship and even going for the eighth, Verstappen was on the rise. And there was a lot of like iffy stuff happening between them two as they were battling for the front, where Verstappen making some overly aggressive moves that were borderline, where now that's kind of baked into who Verstappen is as a driver. And he does get away with this stuff. And it's kind of what his reputation is. But, you know, it has got him to three and on the cusp of four consecutive world championships.
So I'm looking at some odds here, Jason. So who do you think is going to win the Constructors' Championship?
I think McLaren wins. I think they have the best car.
They're a big favorite. They're 9-1 favorite. And then second, they've got Ferrari here. You'd agree with that, followed by Red Bull?
Yes.
Okay. And then who do you got winning the Drivers' Championship?
I think Verstappen.
And then Lando second?
Yes.
Okay, that's how the odds line up. Everybody else is basically like 5,000 and 14,000 to one to beat those two.
At this point, there's not enough points left. I think that's where, if you would have went into this weekend, I would have said Lando, and the odds probably lined up for that. But at this point, just finishing ahead or within a position of each other doesn't lead enough points to catch up for the kind of lead Verstappen has. It would take really like a DNF at this point to really alter you know, Verstappen being out of the lead. But five races to go, a lot of things can change. I can be up here, you know, a week from now, boring Rome to death, talking about what happened at the Mexico GP and, you know, see what happened. But it could be exciting. And when you think of back to Max Verstappen's first world championship, it was really a duel against him versus Lewis Hamilton to the last race. It was winner take all. It's probably one of the best Formula One moments there's been out there, where it was really down to it, in my personal opinion. A lot of people, Lewis Hamilton got hosed. They basically changed the rules mid-race that delivered Verstappen the championship, where Lewis should have won. But I think that if we're lucky enough, it comes down to Abu Dhabi and who kind of wins that. I think that would be the best thing for Formula One.
So who do you think is going to win the Mexico race? I've got the odds up right now.
Interesting.
So
it's going to be between Ferrari and McLaren.
Verstappen is plus 268. Lando's plus 270. So they basically got him even to win that race.
I think Lando's got the better car.
What about this Charles?
Charles Leclerc?
Yeah, he's actually favored.
So he won this week in Austin. He's in the Ferrari. He's third in the driver's points. You know, many considered one of the next great drivers up there, just hasn't put it together for a full season. The Ferrari is an interesting car. It kind of goes week to week. It's sometimes where it felt like a lot of times it could have been the fastest car.
Yeah, that's what Rome's got parked in his garage, that Ferrari. So
the Ferrari.
He knows all about that.
He knows where they're at.
He knows all about that speed.
The Ferraris are really interesting. I think it's going to be down to probably Lando or Leclerc for the win. I think Lando and the McLaren, probably you could see a good result out of here. There'll be a ton of buzz, though. I haven't talked about Max Verstappen's teammate, Sergio Perez. He's been the liability of Red Bull, but he is from Mexico. The Mexico Grand Prix is literally what this guy shows up for. He made one of the biggest dives last year in turn one and put himself out of the race and almost flipped his car over because he was trying to basically go from mile like fifth to first on the first corner down there. So while Sergio's been pretty terrible the entire year and potentially is going to lose his ride with Red Bull, which has been the real controversy of this year, why Red Bull's going to lose the constructors is because Sergio has not been up there. Look for him to really show out because this is the one race that he cares about the most is his home Grand Prix.
Nice. I see him right here almost at plus 4,000. So 100 to win 4,000 to win that race outright. Those are great dog. Great dog odd to win this race. That's a good call, man.
It'd be an insane story. The Red Bull car hasn't there, but I think he knows this track better than probably almost anybody. And we've already seen kind of the Cinderella story this year. I was actually at that race. Lewis Hamilton won the British Grand Prix for Mercedes back in July when it thought like Lewis is kind of done. The Mercedes hasn't been the dominant car, and he won his home Grand Prix. So if you're looking for something here for Sergio Perez at a long shot, that could be one you can see out there.
Yeah, let's get it out there, man. Get this pod out there. Sergio Perez, man. Get Jason. The guy's hot. The guy is hot. I would definitely put 10, 20 bucks on it, man.
Yeah,
it's worth at least passing up a beer on the weekend to see if the guy could bring home the bacon, man, for sure.
I'm just reading he was a runner-up last year on the Drivers' Championship, but yeah, he just got word that he is going to get fired. So there's a fire underneath his ass.
Yep.
It's all like in the last 24 hours, all this news. Crazy.
This is good stuff, man. I'm gonna re-listen to this segment so I can pit down and look at the odds and see what happens, man. I'm fired up, man. I'm gonna pull my car out right now and get it going, rev it up.
You're gonna get your you don't got Rome's got the Ferrari. You got the Aston Martin.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. All right, let's save the baseball talk then for Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long night, man. Good pod, but yeah, we got a lot covered for sure.
Long night.
Thursday night, Lions, and then baseball. Sounds good, man.
Nothing like doing Lions on a Thursday night. That's my kind of night.
Goes from dad jokes in segment one to drug jokes to end the show.
Who said it was a drug joke? All right. That was a fun pod. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty dead tired now.
Catch you Formula guys One, man. Formula One. Put him to sleep out here, Aaron.
Dude, you got like a nice little 15-minute segment right there. It's a Formula.
I loved it, man. Now. I mean, it was well informed.
Yeah,
I've got notes. It's well informed. I've got notes. I've got odds to look at. I may think about pinning something down.
I would say we'll say
like, Sergio Perez has got me a little excited.
I don't know if you got the odds for podium, but if plus 4,000 for a win.
I do have top six
seat.
And top three. There's top six, top three. I'll screenshot and send it over to you.
Top three's podium. So maybe if you're looking for a better Sergio Perez, probably not up there for the win, but maybe it's a podium finish. That's the top three. So that could be some money there.
It's like horse racing. I used to do well horse racing. Catch you guys on Thursday.